What's goody?
I'm your host, Jay Smooth, and welcome to The Life Unexamined Is Not Worth Living.
And we are on episode 2, Who Am I? Who am I? Who am I? Yeah, that's right. Who am I? And I'm telling y'all right now, I'm going to be in my bag today. I'm definitely going to be in my bag on this episode because this is one of them ones. This is definitely one of them ones.
Now, before I get started, you all can find me on Spotify and Apple, and there you all can subscribe to my podcast. Follow me on IG at the_life_unexamined_podcast. And there I'll be sharing some video content of me discussing various topics that I talk about on my episodes during the week. And I'll also be sharing my words of the day to keep y'all actively thinking. And please visit my website, examineourlives.com, where you can find information about my podcast, information about myself. You can find information about guests that I have on my episodes. I have some blogs that I'm putting together as well. And if you want to reach out to me, you can hit me up on my website. Any suggestions, feedback, any questions that you may have, please don't hesitate to ask. And if it makes it easier for y'all, you could also leave me a voice message on my website. And who knows, I may end up playing a message on one of my episodes. With your consent, of course. All right, so let's get back to business.
Who am I is the million-dollar question that most people don't even have an answer to. It's such a simple question, but such a complex question. It's a conundrum. So before I explain to y'all why determining who you are is so paramount to y'all lives, I gotta talk to y'all about these social experiments that I conduct when I meet new people. And my family will sit there and tell me, you know, you're really sick for doing this. You know, you have a problem. You always want to observe people. You always want to figure out why people are the way that they are. Yeah, that's me. That's what I do. It's like, oh, you should have been a therapist. And yeah, I mean, I should have did that. But doing this podcast is therapy for me. I'm just being honest with y'all. So let's get back to the social experiment. I'm going to give y'all a real life example. So this past Thanksgiving, I was having a conversation with someone. And we were just having a normal conversation. And I had told her that I was working on a podcast. So she said, oh, what's the podcast about? I said, it's like a self-help, self-therapy type podcast. She says, okay, cool. So I said, all right, let me ask you a question, though. I said, if I asked you who you are, would you be able to answer that question? So she looks at me and she starts laughing. And I said, you know, I said, what are you laughing at? She said, what are you asking me? Like, you put me on the spot right now. I said, nah, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just asking you a question. Is it something that you ever thought about? So she says, I mean, I think that that's a loaded question. Like, what exactly are you looking for? And I told her, I said, I'm not looking for anything in particular whatsoever. I just wanted to know the answer to that question. So she says, I haven't really thought about it like that. I said, all right, cool. That's valid. So I said, let me help you out a little bit. What are your core values? What are you unwilling to compromise about yourself? So then she looks at me and she says, wow. Yeah, I've never really had anybody ask me anything like this before in my life. And I said, that's cool. Like I said, that's fine. But can you answer that? And she said, well, if I think about it, well, what if my answer changes? And I said, your answer could change. I said, your answer could change tomorrow, next week, next year, 20 years from now. I mean, that the answer to the question of who I am, it could definitely change, right? So that doesn't matter. So she says to me, I'm not really sure. Like, I don't really know exactly what the answer to that question is. I said, that's fine. I said, but just think about it. Just really think about it. So then she says, well, okay, well, let me ask you that question. Can you answer who you are? I said, oh, I can answer that easily with a snap of a finger. It's light work. That's nothing. If you ask me who I am, I'm not going to sum that up in one sentence, but I can give you my core values. I could tell you that I'm blunt. I speak my mind. I don't conform to what other people believe in due to the fallacy of majority. I'm an independent thinker. I'm someone who will give his all to his family, who sacrifices, who loves, who cares, who's aggressive, who's rough. I'm a mixture of so many different things. But how do we get there? How did I get to the point where I was able to answer that question so easily? Well, I mean, we got to go back in time. We got to go back in history. We got to go back to how I grew up. I was raised by my mom and my grandmother. My dad was not in my life. And that was pretty typical for, you know, all the people in my neighborhood. Not all, but a lot of my friends didn't grow up with their fathers. Some did, but wasn't anything that was out of the ordinary. So I grew up with two cousins from my mother's sister and her brother, like their children. And one of my cousins lived with me. And my moms did end up getting married. The marriage didn't last that long, but I did have a stepdad, and he had a great influence on me. Like, we had a great relationship. He was always good to me. Had no complaints about him whatsoever. And we still have a good relationship to this day. But when I grew up, I just remember being surrounded by all of these black queens, and they were so opinionated. They they spoke their mind all the time. They didn't care what you said. They were blunt. And they just kept it 100 all the time. And my grandmother in particular was rough. Like, she was really rough with us. And she was from South Carolina. And, you know, they were raised differently. So when she came to New York, she brought a lot of those customs from down south over here. Grandma was old school. She cooked, she cleaned, and man, did she clean. I mean, she cleaned all the time, yo. No lie, she used to clean all the time. And she was so strict. She had this thing where we weren't allowed to wear our outside clothes on the bed. And I still carry this to this day, by the way. We couldn't wear our outside clothes on the bed. So if she ever saw us touching our bed, touching the sheets, she dead seriously would just start yelling at us and say, "Don't you touch that bed with your nasty self. Got them dirty outside clothes on that bed." That was my grandmother, yo. And she was in New York for decades, and she still held on to that strong Southern accent. It's crazy. And grandma loved us. She really did. But she wasn't affectionate with us. My family was not affectionate at all. We never hugged each other. I'm not trying to be funny. I never hugged anybody in my immediate family. Like, my moms would give me a kiss on the cheek, and I give her a kiss on the cheek. We say that we love each other. But affection? Nah. There wasn't a lot of that in our household. You would never mistake my family for the Huxtables. I'll tell you that much. For real. But we did have our times when we would come together and we would have a great time. We would have fun. That's a fact. And my family shows our love through helping one another, doing things for each other, always being there for each other, no matter what. That's how we did things. But my family had this natural trait of keeping to ourselves. We definitely were like loners that would come together from time to time, like I said before. But we were loners. And getting back to my grandmother, she used to always embed this in my head since I was little. And she used to read the Bible all the time. So when she would read scripture to me, she would always say to never take her word for it, and that I needed to read and study on my own. I had to learn on my own. And she said, it doesn't matter who it is. You have to read, study, research on your own, and attain your own personal knowledge. And I still carry that to this day, I promise you. And I apply that to every aspect of my life. I question everything. I don't take anyone's word for anything. And now I want to pivot over to my mom, beauty personified, the queen. And she always communicated with me. She always talked to me. She always asked me how I felt. She asked me, you know, what was on my mind. And I had an inquisitive mind to begin with, so she didn't even have to do all that for me. I was already, you know what I'm saying? I was always talking to my mother, always asking her different things, and always wanted to learn on my own. That's the way that I learn. You know, I like doing things on my own. I like failing, and I like learning from my mistakes. You know what I mean? And she was a great mom because she understood her child, and she understood what worked for me and what didn't work for me. And she was such a great listener. I mean, like, I could just tell her anything and she would just listen. And she would always give her perspective, but she would always tell me, you know, baby, that's just my view. You know, you got to come to your own conclusions, but I can give you my perspective. And I always respected that about her, because she was never the type of person that told me, you know, what I wanted to hear, or told me like, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. I mean, obviously, when I was younger, she did. You know what I mean? But I mean, like, when I got older, when I was a teenager and I was making decisions on my own, when I was becoming an adult, she let me do that. And she let me learn from my mistakes, which I appreciate. You know, she taught me accountability. You know what I'm saying? My mom's really taught me how to be accountable for my actions. But that was a big part of what shaped me as a person. You know, in the beginning, when I just said that I'm blunt, I said that I speak my mind. I'm an independent thinker. You know, I challenge people. I question things. I learned all that stuff from being around my family. You know what I mean? And then I turned into the person that I wanted to become. But I learned a lot from them. And me and my family are like rough around the edges, but we have a good heart. We have good hearts, like we do. But we could be very abrupt, aggressive. And that's where I learned that from. And I also had like people in my family who have substance abuse problems, drinking alcohol. And I saw like the effects that that had on not only myself, but just my family in general. And I made the vow to myself that I would never drink alcohol, yo. From seeing the damage that it caused and the dysfunction within my family and all of that, like, I said, like, man, like, I'm not doing that. I'm not drinking alcohol. I'm not doing drugs. I'm not doing any of that, man. Because I always wanted to be sober-minded, and I always wanted to be in a place where something wasn't controlling me mentally. Because I always just believed that using alcohol and using drugs is weak, is weak-minded. You know what I'm saying? It is, because you don't want to deal with your problems, and you just use those things as a crutch. You know what I mean? It's a band-aid. And, you know, this is all a part of my upbringing, man, of when I was younger. And then we segue into when I got into my early 20s. And that's when, like, I don't want to say the true foundation, but when I started to reach a higher peak of my foundational journey. So when I was in my early 20s, and I became a lot more reflective, and I looked at my upbringing, and I looked at those around me. I observed the actions of my family over the years, and I wanted better for myself. And I'm not talking about financially or making more money than everybody. That's cool. But I'm talking about all of me, every aspect of my being. I wanted to do better than my family. I wanted to make better decisions. I wanted a life filled with peace, happiness, and fulfillment. And that's what it's about, learning from the generation before you and doing better. And I saw people in my family have so many regrets about what they should have done, what they could have done, what they would have done. And a life full of regrets that keep you down is a dark and lonely path, and I wanted no parts of that. And my mindset was, if I made a mistake or if a decision that I made ended up affecting my life negatively, then it is what it is. It's all a part of the process. It's a part of the journey. You learn, you know better, and then you do better. And I started thinking about all of this stuff in my early 20s. And this was around a time where I just got sick and tired of going out, partying, and always looking for another distraction. So I'd be with my boys and we just chilling. And I'm saying to them, yo, where we at tonight? Where the party at? What's popping? And I'll never forget this one time I was at a club with all my boys. And I've been to clubs before, but this specific time really stands out because we were in the club and, you know, people were out there having fun, dancing, drinking, mingling. You know, regular club stuff. But it was different for me this time because while I'm seeing all this with my eyes, my mind is elsewhere. And I'm questioning, yo, why am I here? What is the purpose of me being here? And it tripped me out the whole night. So when I got back home, I felt unhappy. I felt empty. And I kept asking myself over and over and over again, why were you there? I couldn't answer that question. And it was scary to me because I had answers for everything that I did. But I didn't have an answer as to why I was there. I didn't have an answer to why I was unhappy. And that killed me inside. And I got to a point where I was just sitting back and really reflecting and thinking, yo, is this really our lives? Is this really what we do? And the more that I thought about it, the more that I realized that this lifestyle just wasn't in the cards for me anymore. It just wasn't for me. And then I was dealing with different females and all I was doing was feeding my desires. But those desires that I kept on feeding were never truly satisfied. Now, in the moment, I did feel satisfaction, but it didn't last long. And that fix, it keeps calling you, right? It keeps calling you. But the problem is that it always led to the same result, emptiness. And that's what I felt every single time. I couldn't escape that. So I got to the point where I said, you know what? I need to feed my mind. I need to nourish and enrich my intellectual and mental capacity to retain information. I need to keep myself around positive energy. I need to align myself with an environment where I'm growing and not staying stagnant. And most of all, I wanted to figure out what my purpose on this earth was. That's what I started thinking about. And I just got tired of living the same low energy, low frequency, unfulfilling life. And I had to figure out a life that actually was worth living. And honestly, this is when I started getting tired of dumbing myself down for others. I got tired of being around other people who didn't challenge me mentally and just wanted to have small talk and just didn't want to learn. You know, like I got tired of that and I hated it. It was trash. And I was using my gifts for stupidity. Like straight up and down, just for stupidity. I was using my gifts to win arguments. I was using my gifts to manipulate people. I was using my gifts to get what I wanted. And it got old really fast. Like I had to do some real soul searching. I had to look at myself in the mirror and I asked myself if I was happy. And I wasn't. I wasn't happy with what I saw at all. I was disappointed in myself. But I didn't know any better. I didn't know. I thought that all of those things would have brought me happiness. But it didn't. And I had to eliminate people from my life. I had to stop hanging out with my friends. I had to get away from females. And I just had to sit with myself. And I started talking to myself. And self-talk is really healthy, by the way. It's really good for you mentally. It's very therapeutic. But I started reading more. I started studying. I was studying different religions. I was studying different philosophies. I was studying world history, my history, the true history of my ancestors that were kings, queens, and rulers. And the list goes on. I was stimulating my mind with so much thought-provoking information. And that was just like a huge chunk of my life. Like I was just to myself. And I put in real time to understand who I was. And I remember that was like during the time when I was feeling myself and I had a conversation with my mother and I had said to her, like, Ma, like, I don't understand the world. Like, why are people so stupid? You know, and that's my eyes was open. I was learning new things and I was feeling myself. I was definitely feeling myself. And I said, I don't understand. Why do people keep doing the same stupid things over and over again? Why do they not understand how this world really works? Why do they not understand that they're being manipulated, that they're being controlled, that they're being brainwashed? Why do they continue to keep their desires focused on that low-hanging fruit? I don't get it. Like, what's going on? I remember my mother, she told me, she said, you need to cool it. My mom was just like, you need to calm down. And she said, yeah, it's good. Like, I'm happy for you that you're learning all these different things and that you are exposing yourself to all this wealth of knowledge. But you have to understand that everybody doesn't learn at the same pace. Everybody doesn't come to the same conclusions. And everybody has to get there when they get there in their time. And like I said, I was young, man. My mind was blown. Like my mother humbled me royally. And to this day, I keep that near and dear to my heart. But one of the biggest tests for me when it came to figuring out who I was and a test to my foundations as well was also in my early 20s when I found out that my mom's had cancer. And when I found that out, like, I mean, like, it hit me so crazy. Like, I didn't even know how to respond. You know what I mean? Like, when she told me that, I felt dead, you know? So I could just imagine how my mom's felt. And she had stage two at the time. Stage two cancer, she had bone cancer. So she had a conversation with me and she just told me, you know, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to live. They said it could be a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. They don't know. So at the time, my mom told me that, you know, she wasn't even 50 years old yet. Like she was like 47, 46, 47. She passed away when she was 48. But when she told me that, like, it was like a train hit me. And my mom was alive for like, I would say 3 years after that. So I found out that my mom's had brain cancer, like the cancer had spread throughout her body and it went to her brain. And she was in the hospice. She was in hospice care. And it was like in 2013, from January to April, because April was when she passed. But I remember from January to April, I was seeing her literally every single day. And I was just seeing my mom deteriorate every day. And it was just tearing me apart. But I just tried to make the best of that situation and just talk to her as much as I could. And even when she got to the point where she couldn't really speak like that, and I still was just there every day and just holding her hand and just being there for her, you know what I'm saying? Because she gave me so much in my life, which is what I spoke about before. You know, she helped to shape and mold me into the man that I am today. So I just wanted to give everything back to her because she deserved that. And when she passed, that really messed me up mentally. It turned me into a different person. And that person who I said that I was, that was doing all that research, the reading, the learning, finding himself, a lot of that went by the wayside. All that self-worth that I had was gone because I lost a part of who I was when she died. I had a void, pardon me. And through that whole process, it really messed me up. And like I said, a lot of my principles and me loving myself and me being happy and having my peace was taken away from me. And it was a trauma. I was grieving. We fast forward to 2023, 10 years. And I tell y'all no lie, it took me about 9 to 10 years to get to a place, for me to get to a place where I felt happy again, like truly happy again. Throughout those 10 years, this past decade, I've drained myself and I've given myself to so many people, to my family. My aunt passed away. Me and my cousin were taking care of my grandfather. He passed away. And then we were taking care of my grandmother for a few years. And then she passed away recently. And my cousin and I had a lot going on in our personal lives, but we had to embrace the responsibilities that in an ideal world, this is what your children do. But based on circumstances, we had to take care of our grandparents. It was stressful and it wasn't easy, but we did what we had to do. I was married. That was stressful as well. I was taking care of my wife. It was just so many different things that I was going through during that time. And I was just giving myself to everybody. But I was never giving anything to myself. I wasn't at all. But we get to 2023. I just had enough of all of that. I had enough of me giving myself to people who were ungrateful, giving myself to people who didn't deserve it, and also giving myself to people who just don't even understand all the work that I've put in and what I've sacrificed to do. And I just got to the point where, like, I had to love myself and get back to that. But if you notice, I just said, get back to that. Those are key words. Back to that. So when I said in episode one, your foundation is important, is paramount. I talked about people having trash foundations, poor foundations. So I had a strong foundation, but my foundation got rocked. That's when I was talking about the storms with the house and all that, right? Remember in episode one? That was trauma. That was a hurricane. That was a tornado. It tore my house apart, but I had a strong foundation. When I got back to where I needed to be mentally, I could always go back to my foundation of who I am, of what I'm about, of what I care about, of what is important to me, of what I'm not willing to compromise. I was able to go back to that because I was no longer grieving anymore. So I had that foundational part of my life still there. It was tucked away all the way at the bottom because I had that storm hit me and it messed me up. But I wasn't gone forever though. I had to rebuild again. And with everything and everyone that I've lost in my life, I don't complain because I still have. Those are the key words. I still have. And I appreciate that. And I don't take that for granted because I realize how short life is. And I realize my purpose and what I need to do. And I came to the conclusion that who I am and what's fulfilling to me is me being 100% myself at all times. Me not compromising myself for anybody because of their beliefs or how they may feel. If you like me, that's dope. If you don't like me, that's dope. Straight up and down. I'm just being honest with y'all. But that's fulfillment to me. Helping those who are less fortunate, helping those who are in need, helping my family, sacrificing, me pouring myself into them and giving them my all. That's a part of me. But throughout this process, I also learned how to pour into myself and I learned how to be selfish. I learned that as well, because that's what's most important, because I live with me every day and that's who I am. So I know that I want to make a difference in lives. I know that I wanted to help people. I know that I wanted to give the advice and the experience that I had in my life and use my experiences to help the world, because I've been through a lot in my young age. Like, I'm 35 years old right now. And in this past decade, I feel like I've encountered and had to go through so many deaths. It's not even funny. But these things have made me stronger, and I use it to help me to keep going on. And I have so much wisdom. I attain so much wisdom throughout this process. So it's like, now that I'm doing this podcast, I'm using my voice to help other people, because I love to talk. Talk is my love language, right? These are all aspects of who I am. Talking is my love language. It really is. And I also can't stand small talk. So while I do love talking, I like having stimulating conversations, intellectual conversations, deep conversations. Small talk, garbage. But again, I had that foundation. I figured out who I was in my 20s. But just imagine if I didn't do all of those things that I did before. I don't know where I would be right now, because I put the work in to get there. And you got to put that work in also. And you got to find your voice. And we have a lot of outside influences in our lives. And sometimes we don't know if it's our voice or if it's our parents' voice, if it's our siblings' voice, if it's our boyfriend and girlfriend's voice, if it's our friend's voice. Well, you got to be able to decipher that, because sometimes you just don't even know. Is it the voice of the people that's on television, the quote unquote celebrities, the quote unquote important people that y'all revere, the people that you follow on social media, all of that stuff? Whose voice is it? Is it yours? You definitely have to figure that out. Because if you don't, I mean, you're just going through life and you're like a zombie. You know, Nas said black zombies, but yeah, like you're just like a zombie, man. Like, you're just walking around without any path, and you're just looking for the next thing to excite you, and then you coming off of that high. You come off of that high, and it's just the same process repeated over and over again. Rinse and repeat, same thing. So as we wrap up episode 2, I got a test for y'all. I want to challenge y'all. I'm going to ask you a question. After I ask that question, I want y'all to pause this episode, and I want y'all to think about what I asked you, come up with an answer, and then play the rest of the episode and see if your answer aligns with what I said. Why do you think that I gave you background on who I am, background on how I grew up, background on my upbringing, a background on my family, all the things that I've been through? What do you think the purpose was? Why do you think that I explained all of that to y'all? So if your answers were anywhere along the lines of, I did this because I like talking about myself, I like to hear myself talk, and I want to give out my personal business to people, well, you would be incorrect on all fronts. So, number one, I don't like talking about myself. I don't like hearing myself talk. And that's really ironic. And I surely do not like to talk about my personal business at all. But when it comes to this episode and when it comes to my podcast, I'm doing it for edification reasons. And I 100% did not give y'all all of this information because I just wanted to give y'all background on how I grew up and who I am. And no, I did want to give background on myself for sure. That's part of the reason. But if that's the only thing that you got from everything that I talked about today, then the overall point went over your head. So let's get to the full point. The full point and the reason why I gave this information is because in order for y'all to understand who you are, you have to do the same thing. You have to go back to your upbringing. You have to go back to, oh, okay, how was I raised? How were my parents, my siblings, my friends, my relationships? You have to go back to when you were a child all the way to whatever age you are today. That's how you figure out who you are. That's the reason why I gave y'all all that information. Because I want you all to conduct this exercise and really delve into everything that you have gone through since you were a child. Because in order to figure out who you truly are as a person, you need to delve into all of those different pockets. There's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts. who we are is not just about in my 20s, in my 30s, in my 40s. Nah. It goes all the way back to when you came out of your mom's vagina. I'm just saying, that's just what it is. If that sounds explicit to y'all, I don't care. It's nature. It's nature, y'all. That's where it comes from, though. So that's the reason why I gave y'all that information. Kobe Bryant had this mantra that he called the Mamba mentality. And the Mamba mentality is a constant quest to be the best version of oneself. And that's very important. We all should want to be the best versions of ourselves, 100%. But before you could be the best version of yourself, you have to figure out who you actually are. Everything that I've been discussing throughout this episode is how you achieve that. That's how you get there. And when you figure out who you are, then you could figure out what type of relationships you want in your life. When you figure out who you are, then you can figure out what type of career you want. When you figure out who you are, then you could figure out, who do I want my boyfriend or my girlfriend or my wife or my husband to be? But I know, y'all want to skip the steps. Y'all want to get in relationships without knowing who you are. And then y'all want to get in relationships again with somebody else, still not knowing who you are, still making the same mistakes, still being with the same people that's not compatible with you. Y'all know, y'all want to have careers and jobs and not know who you are. Y'all want to have children and not know who you are. And then y'all want to complain about your lives and say how it's so terrible and how you're so unhappy and you don't understand why. Yeah, I know. Yo, we got to stop this vicious cycle. We have to examine our lives. We have to scrutinize our lives and we have to be critically observant of our lives. We got to stop this vicious cycle of making these life decisions without knowing who we even are. It's just backwards, man. It's so backwards. It's crazy. And it's one thing if y'all just affecting your own personal lives. But y'all also are bringing other people down with y'all. And you know, misery loves company. And y'all just messing other people up. You know what I'm saying? Just due to the fact that y'all don't know who you are. We got to stop with that. Cut it out. And I don't know about y'all, but figuring out who you are is the true definition of a life that's worth living. I'm your host, Jay Smooth, and thank you for listening to The Life Unexamined Is Not Worth Living. And I'm out of here. Peace.